Yeah, what I'm trying to do tonight is very simple. And Isaiah the prophet is one of the prophets that really prophesied at length about the birth of Christ and the ministry of Christ. So even some people would try to make him the greatest prophets of all, or maybe the most important prophets among all the prophets. I'm not going to do that. You see, because all the prophets of God were sent by him to bring forth his word. And so that's what I want us to establish right. But we have to have the right understanding on why Isaiah was coming to preach, to what type of the world he was preaching to. The people of Israel, you know, the prophecies were in the first place to the house of Israel, you know, the Judah and Israel, and also through them to the entire world. You see, the world that is going to receive Christ is a broken world, is a fallen world, is a world full of sin. That is why they needed a savior. One of the greatest problems of our modern times is the denial of the fact that we need a savior, that our problems do not need God. So that is why we want to use our mind, our resources, our technology and everything, to the point that even the first world country become like a snare to all of us, because it's just pointing us away from God, pointing us to vanity, to nothing. No community, no sense of compassion and sense of love and gentleness. These qualities of God himself, God who is love. Jesus said he is meek and gentle. You see, he is steadfast love and his long sufferings. You see, he's slow to anger, abounding in love. So these are these qualities in our day today, in our world today. No? Thank you were sharing the fact that even today we struggle on how to get alongside someone who needs help, even within the church. People who have come to know this, we struggle with this so much because we use the rationale, or maybe a person is not living the right way of life, and so are making wrong decisions, you see, and so therefore. So if you bring this dimension into your relationship with the world around you, totally you are in total in loss. You are total loss. You will be out of touch. And I think many of us today, we are facing that reality. And it's a dangerous place to be. So what can we do? What can we do? We need to go back to our knees and to get back to the Word and ask the real sanctification, like what Martin was sharing with us. And not only that, I mean, I was really listening attentively to all the testimonies of those who have come up. Alistair, I was listening to you, and I thought I was going to say, like, oh, you can call out to God, whether you know him or not. And thankfully, you just really got into that. This is a deep theological statement. Because many of us today may think that, oh, God will hear me because I'm a righteous person or I'm doing it right. No, he is God. And we can never get right to the point where we will deserve his blessings and his grace and his mercy. All the time, all his gifts are out of his grace and of grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that we need to know this. And there's nothing that we could do in righteousness that could really make us qualify for further blessings. Only the blood of Jesus, only through Jesus Christ, only through his mercy and grace, only through his work and his decision to bless us. Well, Isaiah was prophesying to a sinful people who are really God's people, and yet they were rebelling against God. And so the first human, they rebelled against God. They were created by God, and they were like God in many ways, because God said they were after his own image, were created after his own image. You see, he created them like that. They were holy, there were no sin. You see, the Bible says in Romans 5, sins came into the world through one man. You see, just through one man, sins came. And that was the beginning of death and the entrance of sin into the world. So Isaiah, what he is coming to do is he will be shortly speaking about the need for Christ, for Messiah, isn't it? So from chapter 6, you see, even from chapter 6, he will see Christ in pre-incarnation. You see, it's quite amazing that himself, not just to speak about Christ, you see, no, he will see Christ. How do we know that? Didn't he say that? Jesus didn't say that Isaiah saw me. He said Isaiah saw me. John 12. So he will see Jesus himself. That means really the people of Israel, they were looking for Messiah to come and deliver them completely and to come and save them from their sins. You see, once and for all, because even now there is provision for them to believe and to trust. You see, and yet they were rebelling constantly. They were not able to completely yield to their God, to the God of Israel. And so this is what Isaiah said, the vision concerning Judah and Jerusalem that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw during the reign of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. A rebellious nation. Hear, O heavens, listen, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. So here, this is the way God really. This is a poetry. So Moses will use it, you know, in Deuteronomy 32. If I could just go back. Listen, O heavens, I will speak. Hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teaching fall like rain and my words descend like dew. You see, God declaring that what I'm saying worth listening to. Pay attention to this. Hear this. And the whole universe, stop and hear what the Lord God is about to say. And what he's about to say, he's describing this fallen humanity that he has created and that he has blessed with a covenant. You see, again and again he renewed it, and that is what he's saying. He said, I reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. And so what the humanity is out of God himself, isn't it? The life is from God. And yet people would not acknowledge that they are created by God himself. Even today you see someone who is not a Christian, you meet them, what they will say, I don't believe in God. And how do you exist? He has no creator. He came just by chance. Even he doesn't even want to hurt his mind to think, how can something unique like this be put together with a brain that's higher than all the animals in the creation? You see, if it was not for God's glory, he said he created you and I for his glory, to worship him and to glorify him. And that is why he can never be silent. He demands worship, he demands obedience, he demands really allegiance. And that is why God will never be silent. He will just go after anyone who does not acknowledge him. He won't stop. And that is why we think that there is no judgment to come. Judgment is coming, definitely. And the only those who put their trust in Christ and the blood of Jesus, like the Exodus, they will be saved. And that is what he's saying. So these people of Israel, you are rebelling. And then he will give them a second chance because he has chosen them. So he will send the Messiah. And if they reject the Messiah, and then they can only face one judgment. And that is hell. So this opening verses, really, from 1 to chapter 5, describe to us that this, that the world into which Isaiah was speaking is a broken world. is a fallen world. Man in himself has no capacity to follow God unless God himself works by his grace. And that was what was happening in the Old Testament. It was God's grace that these people recognized God's hand and presence and gave them faith to believe in him. And they walked with him. They would rebel again, he would just send them prophets. And so just God was engaged with them. You see, and finally he will engage with us, you see, through Jesus Christ our Lord. That is why there's no prophets. He is the last, you see, and he is the best, because he is God and man himself, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. So the Lord says, these are rebellious. He said, these people also, they are not intelligent. So what we see in this world, even we claim and we make aeroplanes and big machines and so forth, but what the word is saying here, actually, there is no understanding. We are not intelligent. You see, even the ox knows his master. You see, the donkey, his owner's manger. But Israel does not know. My people do not understand. You see, and so let us not assume that the world around us has knowledge, the right knowledge. It has a knowledge that serves their own lust and their own desires to make themselves God and to be on the throne of God themselves. And then they push God outside of their lives, and any world that is doing that is waiting God's judgment, and is going to be severe. We are seeing God's judgment upon nations, other nations. And God is delaying this because he's giving us chance to cry out to him and to pray to him and to spare us. And we who are here today is spared from real guns, even not seeing people with guns. My brother who used to work for the national security of South Sudan, he was in very sensitive positions. He was just like handling guns that were just like really very sophisticated. So one day he was driving in a car, and then there was just like checkpoints. And you see, and then this guy came, approached him. And so he said, do you have a gun? And then my brother said, yes, I have a gun. And then he ran away. And then he told his leader that he has a gun. And then he said, why you just don't call your superior? Why you don't call him, talk to me? And that guy came. He said, why he's running? He asked me a question, and I'm just like really answering him. See, because I'm just saying, yes, I have a gun, because that was what he said. Okay, then you provide all the papers that why you are carrying a gun. So he got all his paper right, and so he was so like that. You see, the world is scared, does not know, and is waiting judgment. And you see places even like South Sudan, Gaza, and already the Arab Springs really is wept the whole region. You see North Sudan now, no system, a country that was just like a host for, or even the Queen visited in 57 as one of the most important colonial centers in Africa. A country that was full of resources, water, the longest Nile in the world. You see, a vast land, million miles square. You see, just like that. You see, it's devastated today, and all like 15 million people are refugees. You see, and another refugees in our neighboring countries, and you have maybe 10 million internally displaced in protective areas. God will move. You see, without God, really God will move and do his work. And also, even I've been restudying also the many theologians, the Arabic theologians, who are just believing nonsense and bad thing. Really, do you think these people can believe bad things and God will not judge? A false God? No, God will judge. And that is why we see here God is addressing the sins of his own people. He said, first of all, they are rebellious. They know that they belong, because I have brought them out. And we will see this. You see, a vineyard I brought out of Egypt. I brought you out. You see, And now you are rebelling. You see, I have planted you in a land full of milk and honey, like satisfactions and enjoyment. You see, and milk and honey. You see, strength and honey, sweet and nice. You see, so yet these things, these people, they don't care. You see, so and that is really something we need to be serious about. When God's goodness is extended to us, and we just act as if God has not blessed us and has not really done great things. That is what he will say in chapter 5. And chapter 5 also is a lament. Chapter 5 is a lament. It's this verse I've been reading this for last 3 weeks. This is what he said. I will sing for the one I love a song about this vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of its stones and planted it with the choicest vine. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a wine press and well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruits. Now you dwellers in Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could have I been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield on the bad? Now I will tell you what I am going to do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge and it will be destroyed. I will break down its wall and it will be trampled. I will make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated, and briars and thorns will grow there. I will command the cloud not to rain on it. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are the garden of his delight. And he looked for justice, but saw bloodshed, for righteousness, but heard cries of desire. Even the Bible explains it itself. You don't have to work very hard. So that is how the Lord feels for his own people. And he would say laments, because the world is fallen. These people do not know. They look like intelligent, but they are not intelligent. They are not. So they rebels. They don't have the right knowledge. A sinful nation, a people loaded with guilt, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption. They have forsaken the Lord. They have turned, they spurned the Holy One of Israel and turned their backs on him. Well, this is Isaiah. He set the tone for us, isn't it? But again, and he will say like, a virgin will bear a child, isn't it? So the problem will be dealt once and for all. And if people would turn to Christ, and that is why Apostle Paul could say, because even like he gave them a hint, even in verse 18, chapter 1, he gave them a hint. He said like, this is what is going to happen. I am the God who forgives. I'm God who cleanses. I'm the God who redeems. You see, that's why he called them to come. Come now, let us reason. Verse 8. Even though you are bad like that and you are wicked and not knowing and you rebelled, come now, let us reason. Let us reason together, says the Lord. The reason is a weak word. You see, it's strong reason. Reasoning is strong reasoning, is strong rationale. Am I able to forgive you or not? Come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. I will remove that which hinders really our relationship, that which brings upon you judgment. I am able. Just only the things you need is to come, acknowledge it. You see, that is what is going to happen. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, if just willingness. You see, that is what happens always when people come to salvation. It's just acknowledging that you are a sinner. You did it wrong together. You are limited in yourself. You run out of your resources. You are not good in yourself. You are not beautiful as you think. You see, and you have no future without Christ. You see, you have no future. You have no real enjoyment, you see, of the life that God has designed for us. That is why Apostle Paul could say in Romans in Romans 3. People say they were the most important words ever written, because in our day-to-day, the world is like that. The world is sinful, is far away from God, and they are trying many ways, but actually there is only one way. There is no any other way by which we could be forgiven, just only because to be right with God. But now a righteousness from God, apart from law, from following anything, from just relying on technology or your good deeds, like Apostle Paul says, like filthy rag. You see, there is nothing we could have done in righteousness, even he tells us in Titus. Just only when the mercy and the grace of our God appears in Christ, and we turn to him in repentance and faith and trust in his provision, then we will be made right with God. That is why Apostle Paul could say, now, righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. That is what Isaiah is saying. There will come a time when a virgin will bear a child. There will be no gloomy in the lands they were just really humbled by sins. Land of Naphtali, across the Jordan, will see a great light. The Son of God will pass. The Son of God came 2,000 years ago, and he has risen. He is in heaven. Today he reigns with power. Those who call upon him, his name, and rely on his sacrifice on the cross shall be saved once and for all, shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, made right with God, and they will have access into the throne of God. They can come and with their bondages and be broken before him as they confess him. You see, and so one of the things I'm reflecting the other day, I said, if there is anything we need to talk more about in the Western Christianity, is sanctification. They got the justification right. That is not by works and not by anything, but actually, we stop there. Can God change us every day? Can he change us? Can he change us? Can we grow in our sanctification? The bondages of the past, today we will be free from them. You see, the competitions, can you be a competitor? So you just compete and then suddenly you bring this to the Lord, this match. Jealousy. Envious, you see, greed, all these things, the power of the blood of Jesus is able to transform, and the Spirit of God is able. That is the fruits of the salvation we have. So we are meant to grow to the likeness of Christ, from degree of glory to another, because the righteousness, the what that made us right, is from God, and the Holy Spirit works to make us like Jesus. This righteousness is from God, come through faith in Jesus. Not anything, you don't have even to try. You trust that Jesus Christ is able and he is willing, and that is what he came to do, to make us his own, to sanctify us, you see, to disclose to us the secrets of the times in which we live, how we can live in really bad times like this. How can we live? How can we live? So we are not just going by head knowledge, but no. We are every day being renewed in our minds and our hearts being changed before him as we have this faith in Christ Jesus. And then this is not confined to some nice people and who are keeping away from troubles. No, no. To everyone who believes, to everyone, there is no difference, for all have sinned. Because so that is the only divide. So people have sinned, and there is Christ. And only, you see, coming to Christ. Because there is no one who is good. No one who is just doing better. You may be living better life in terms of like keeping to yourself, as we heard earlier, like you shun evil away. But you are still in bondages in your lust, in your thoughts, in your mind. You are not being sanctified. You are not growing with Christ. So you may avoid like external troubles, but you have a lot of fear. A lot of fear. And fear is not of faith, you see, because Christ reigns. If you trust Christ, why? He says nothing shall separate us from the love of God that is ours in Christ. And we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement. Well, look, I don't have even to press anything more, but all that I want to really plant on your heart tonight is as we are celebrating Christmas, you celebrate really with all of your heart that you have come to that which God was preparing 700 years ago when Isaiah was prophesying. And now you have been given the knowledge and you have no any excuse to dwell where there are doubts, to dwell where there are defeats, and to dwell where there are reliance on human understanding and wisdom. Because the humanity is fallen and will remain fallen until it is redeemed by Christ himself. You see, and for us who have been redeemed and yet to be redeemed also, we are to live in obedience, we are to live in faith and trust of the work of Christ that he has finished on the cross of Calvary. And he is risen. So 3 days ago or 4 days ago at George's house, I was speaking with this friend of mine, Johannes. He was my colleague. We taught these kids together in Cairo. It's a man who is a very highly educated man and yet humble man. So I said to him, look, I just want God to help me in the next years to come to encourage people more than ever, to encourage them to rely on Christ, to encourage them to rely on his sacrifice and not to rely on their own understanding, to walk with him every day and to call him to every situation that they face, and you will see the wonders of Christ because he has called us to walk with him. You see, to follow me, he said, we follow him, not to follow anyone else. And the danger is we have made for ourselves leaders that we want to follow and not Christ. And Christ is lost in the crowds of the many leaders. And then what we are left with? Weakness, fear, lack of blessings, lack of joy, lack of the Holy Spirit, lack of vision, and lack of influence on sinners. When we speak word, they can be saved, you see. Because God will be speaking, addressing sins, and people will be convicted of their sins as we walk with Christ, as Christ speaks through us.